Well, good morning to Searching the Scriptures, and we welcome you to the radio program, and we're trusting as we're going to open the Word of the Lord, study from the Bible, that we'll all be helped, be encouraged in the things that are good and right as we look into God's Word. I'm Danny McKibben, one of the fellows that preaches at the Prime Top Church of Christ. Glad that you've tuned in to be with us here this morning. And we're going to invite you to open to Luke chapter 4. Luke chapter 4, that's going to kind of be the basis of our study here this morning, and trust that our time will be certainly beneficial. In Luke chapter 4, after the temptation of Jesus, it says that he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And so here we have Jesus coming to the synagogue, which was sort of the meeting place, the assembly place for the Jews. And he stands up to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written. Now the books were like scrolls, and open it up and unroll it. It was from the book of Isaiah chapter, what we know as Isaiah chapter 61, the chapter verses, the chapters, and then the verses were added later, and no problem, but he would have just unrolled and just scanning and getting to the place there of what we know as Isaiah chapter 61. He reads these verses. It says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them were fastened in the synagogue, were fastened upon him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And of course, they're quite amazed about that. But I want to think about this Isaiah chapter 61, that indeed was fulfilled in Jesus and what he did in coming to this world and the life that he lived, because it is certainly rich in meaning. And especially when it talks about to set at liberty them that are bruised, the whole idea of liberty. You know, this month we celebrated July the 4th, which is Independence Day, when the Founding Fathers proclaim liberty and freedom from the rule of the British rule. And anyway, the whole idea of liberty is, and I remember kind of watching the fireworks, went up on top of the hill, just kind of looking out over the city of Somerset, and fireworks just going everywhere. And it recalls history of people that made great sacrifices to bring liberty to us and to be free from kings and this totalitarian type of authority and just this absolute rule of monarchs. Nothing wrong with a monarch if the monarch is good. Because in the kingdom of Christ, we have an absolute monarch. It's Jesus, but he's absolutely good. And so, no problem. It's wonderful. It's very easy. Jesus commands and directs, and we put all confidence that he's going to do what's best for us, and he knows what's best. And so it's a great form of government when you have a good ruler. But when you have a horrible ruler and one who is unjust and unfair and et cetera, and living by passions of the flesh, it's a horrible thing. But we do have freedoms and liberties and what we enjoy in the United States. And Jesus come to give us even a greater liberty. And that is to be liberated from sin. And the language of what the work of the gospel would be in the work of Jesus, that it talks about here in verse 18, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor." Preaching good news to the poor. That is, we're spiritually bankrupt and he's bringing riches to us. I mean, spiritual riches that is beyond comprehension. to set me to proclaim liberty to the captives. I mean, that's just fantastic. Here we are captivated. We are enslaved to sin. And the devil, of course, is a very cruel taskmaster. But he, of course, he offers unto us liberty and freedom, because he will bring absolute forgiveness for us. I mean, it's just fantastic. The recovering of the sight to the blind. Here we all are, spiritually blind, lost and undone in sin. But Jesus, he gives us sight. We can see where we need to go and what we need to do. I mean, he gives that clarity. And these are just tremendous promises for us to think about. To set at liberty those that are oppressed, to those that are crushed, as you look at various translations of this phrase. And we have been crushed by sin. We listen to Satan, and we've made bad choices and following after sin and wickedness. And the great thing is that in Christ Jesus, there's liberty and there's freedom. And we can enjoy these rich, rich blessings in the Son of God. And these blessings come to all. They're offered to all. But the sad thing is, only a few is really going to accept the gospel and to follow the teachings of Jesus. It's there. It's available. We can have it. We can enjoy it. We have to accept it by faith and obedience, because that's the kind of faith that saves, is an obedient working faith, as we study there in James chapter 2. And we can enjoy this tremendous liberty that is in Christ Jesus, this freedom. To preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Yes, we're in a time where we can be accepted of the Lord. Now, let me tell you, if we wait and we delay and we die, or the world comes to an end, whichever may come first, and we haven't received the good news of Jesus Christ, we haven't been liberated from sin by obeying the gospel, well, we can't be accepted. We can't be accepted now. You know, when we read there in the book of Acts chapter 10, when Peter was preaching there to Cornelius, he says, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him." You see, we're still in the acceptable year of the Lord. Today, July 19th. Or whenever you might be listening to this program, 2020. Yes, yes, for sure, we can be accepted of the Lord by fearing him and working righteousness, accomplishing the will of God and following the teachings of Jesus. And so Jesus says, as he sits down and all these people are looking at him, "This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears." And Jesus was anointed of the Holy Spirit. That is, after his baptism, the Holy Spirit fell upon him. And we know that happened as you read Matthew chapter 3. And Peter also refers to that in Acts chapter 10. And, of course, they kind of scratched their heads and said, this is pretty marvelous that's coming out of his mouth, but is this not Joseph's son? I mean, didn't we see him grow up? I mean, isn't he Joseph's boy? And he said to them, "You will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal yourself. Whatsoever you have heard done in Capernaum, do also in your country." And he said, "Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country." And so Jesus, you know, he was kind of like a prophet in his own country that, you know, they didn't see how special he was and what he had to say. And so a lot rejected. And, of course, they were filled with wrath, as it talks about in verse 28. And rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill wherein they where the city was built, that they may cast him down headlong. But he passes through their midst. And it's sad that people reject Jesus. And he comes to bring this great news of to bring us this great news of salvation and liberation and to enjoy the freedom that is in Christ. In Galatians 5, it says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled with the yoke of bondage." And so here was what was happening. You have the Christians of the churches of Galatia, that they were listening to the Judaizers and binding the law of Moses upon people and going back to the old law, which was a yoke of bondage, because nobody lived the law perfectly. Now, if you live perfectly, okay, you would be fine. But nobody did except Jesus. And so they stood under the condemnation of the law. And so in Christ Jesus, we are made right. We find liberty in the Son of God, freedom and release of sin. Why? Because he brings salvation to us. On down in verse 13 of Galatians 5, Paul says, "For brethren, you have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for an occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another." And so, yes, we have this liberty in Christ Jesus. Liberated from sin, first and foremost. Liberated from the bondage of the law, now under the gospel of Christ, the New Testament order. And we can enjoy these great privileges. In the book of James, chapter 1, and verse 25, it says, "But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continue therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of this work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." When we look into the gospel of Jesus Christ, it is the perfect law of liberty. It's complete. I mean, it doesn't come short. It's not like, okay, well, you're going to have an update. You know, it's going to have, get booster information. No, it's not like that. It's complete. You know, you look at some of the things that, some of the vaccines that people get. And like for tetanus, well, you have to get a booster shot. You know, it lasts for so long, and it's got to be boosted. Or you think about computers and the analogy of software. Well, it's going to be updated ever so often. Well, but not the gospel, not the perfect law of liberty. That gospel that was proclaimed and revealed in the first century is the same gospel we have today in 2020. It's the perfect law of liberty. And then James 2 and verse 12, it says, "So speak ye and so do ye, that you may be judged by the law of liberty." And so that's what we proclaim, is the message of freedom in Christ Jesus. That we can absolutely be forgiven of our sins. That the blood of Christ has the power to forgive no matter what you've done. If you're willing to come to the Lord, if you're willing to come to the Son of God in humble belief, accepting Christ, accepting his will, to obey his will. And as we mentioned there, as James goes on to talk about there in chapter 2, "Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect," talking about Abraham. Well, so it is with us. You see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith only. Well, what's he talking about? He's talking about the works of obedience. He's not talking about works of merit. He's not talking about works that we can boast about. He's not talking about the works of the law. He's not talking about works of our own invention. No. He's talking about the works of obedience. That is, we have to have a living faith. I mean, faith alone doesn't save. That's what James says. And so we have to have that living, thriving, and active kind of faith that James talks about here. And we will find this liberty that is promised in the perfect law of liberty. That is, in the message of Jesus Christ. And it brings about these great blessings if we'll just accept it, if we'll just believe it, if we'll just obey it. And just trust. This is the answer. And it is the answer. That's the great thing. It is the answer that we need. And if for some way we could help you and to know more about this message, we're here to help you. I mean, you're welcome to give me a call. My number is 606-308-5077. And just give me a call. And be happy to study with you and open the scriptures and we can talk by phone, and if you live near, we can meet person to person. That'll be okay, too. But we want people to know about the liberty and the freedom that is in Christ Jesus. Well, appreciate you listening. We'll look forward to the next time that we'll have time to spend together in the Word of God.